I've been working with a nurse dietitian for the last 6 months, and it's been life-changing. I've lost weight, healed my relationship with food, and have way more energy. Working with a dietitian online to create a personalized nutrition plan was so easy thanks to Nourish. The best part? I pay $0 out of pocket because Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
The integrity of the game. You know, when I was breaking Gordie Howe's record, he was there, and I said 2 years ago that if Alex gets close to my record, I'll be here. That's the National Hockey League, right? From Béliveau to Howe, Orr, Lemieux, Messier, you pass it down. And you guys might not believe me, if somebody breaks Alex's record, I hope Alex is there to shake his hand. But right now, I hope Alex enjoys it, and he deserves all the credit and accolades he's getting.
Wayne Gretzky talking about how he's in the building now when Alex Ovechkin is there to threaten scoring to tie or break the record, and there he was. I don't know if it was the lighting from where he was sitting, the camera angle, where like part of like the upper section was like cutting off the rest of his forehead, but he looked like a stock villain. He looked like just like a bad guy. I don't know why. Like I said, it could be the lighting, it could be the camera angle. I don't know what it is, but he definitely looked like a stock Bond villain there for you, like a James Bond villain of sorts. Instead of really like the usual Wayne Gretzky. But anyway, that sometimes is just what happens. It's kind of funny, though, that Wayne Gretzky's record is going to be beaten by a player who scored one of the weirdest goals when he was a coach for the Coyotes.
Oh, yeah.
Alex Ovechkin's falling to the ice. He curls his hand around. He manages to get around the goaltender with it as he's on the ice, desperately trying to shovel the puck into the net. And you cut to Wayne Gretzky, and he's just like shaking his head, like, I don't know what to do about that. Like, you can't defend that. And that was Ovechkin's first season. I guess in that moment, everyone realized how special of a player that he was. But I don't think it was, he's going to break your record, Wayne, kind of special, when he had a little bit of absurdity to his game as a younger player. There are plenty of people that, even within this area, there's still a little bit of a sore spot when he made a very ill-advised hit as Daniel Briere was making a line change. He hits Briere into the boards, and it was not a safe play when Briere is laying off to prepare for a change. But throughout that time, Ovechkin did learn in his career of what is and is not okay and acceptable, and he changed and adapted his game to that. The one thing he never adapted, though, was the goal-scoring prowess. That didn't change at all. He was just that guy. He was a machine. And is a machine scoring. Man has 41 goals this year after breaking his leg in season. 41 goals in 60 games.
That's what I think about. If he didn't miss, what did you say, 21 games? Or something?
He missed I don't remember the amount of games that he's missed.
But either way, this record would have been broken probably months ago.
It would have been broken by now. Instead, we're getting it in the stretch run, which, I mean, I guess dramatic timing is still a good thing for it. It's something that will help because, like, what happens the rest of the year? You know, I mean, then you can actually look at it and go, if he's crazy enough, he could threaten 1,000 goals. But it is interesting to see, at the very least, age 39 season, he breaks his leg in season, comes back faster than the deadline that they expected him with the timeline to come back, and he casually pops off 41 goals already. And the next one is the one that allows him to take sole possession of the all-time goal-scoring record in the National Hockey League. And this is a player that has had to endure two shortened seasons based on COVID, one season shortened based on a lockout, and one season canceled that would have started his career a year earlier. But ever since he's taken the ice, it has been, I score goals. The lowest he's ever had in a season was 24, and that was a COVID-shortened season. Like, all right, sick. You're just that good at this, huh? It is a shame that he only has one Stanley Cup to his name. But at the same time, we saw it for the longest time with him of he would be there, he'd be making noise within the playoffs, and then other teammates would be kind of letting him down. I think of like a Mike Green in particular in that sort of case. Or sometimes goaltending was the thing letting him down. It was like it was Neuwirth or it was someone else in the net. And then Holtby comes in, and Holtby has years where he's playing great, and it's just like, but it's not enough. And then Holtby has that generational run in net while Kuznetsov is emerging as the new distributor instead of Nicholas Backstrom, and Ovechkin is doing Ovechkin things. And then they do win themselves a Stanley Cup. My bet is if they, like, he's going to get this record at this point. There's five games left. He's going to get there. You're asking the man who's scoring at every other game pace right now after his leg injury. You're asking that man to not score a single goal in five games? Okay. He's going to get there. Is this his last season in the National Hockey League? And I think yes. He will have the record, a legitimate shot at a Stanley Cup with one of the best teams in the National Hockey League, and you go after it one more time. You know what's actually truly fascinating about this season for him, too? It's an anomaly. Alex Ovechkin is typically a career 13% shooter. This year, he's scoring at an 18.6% clip. So even he's finding the net more than usual. And this is a career best by a long shot in shooting percentage. He has been more efficient with scoring. A man who would oftentimes lead the league in shots on goal. And again, he's not going to this year because he broke his leg. But he's also scoring on 18% of his shots this year. At age 39. Insane stuff. But it's good to see. For the sport, I think it's nice to generate the buzz. People can have their thoughts or their feelings about Ovechkin. But it's good for the sport overall to have this kind of attention. And we'll see what Washington is capable of doing in the postseason. And they can go from there because they are moving on with a different group of players. The minute that he walks away, it's over. But he's not their leading scorer this year. He's their leading goal scorer. He's still insane. But this team has other players and other talent to it. Maybe that's why they make the trade for Pierre-Luc Dubois, to try to be able to make that turnover happen more smoothly. Connor McMichael is going to be a top six player for them that continues to be a fixture for them. Dylan Strome was such a smart free agency signing. And Alexei Protas is a young player, age 24, that hopefully they're able to keep the success up without Ovechkin here at some point. So it's very interesting to see that Washington has been slowly but surely trying to do right by them, but also right by their franchise player. And I get to sit here in Buffalo and go, well, they're fun in March sometimes. Two damning losing streaks. And the Sabres still sitting so far out. It's, you laugh so you don't cry sort of a thing. But, man, how things could be different in a season like this.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It hurts. It hurts to see it that you are now 12 points out of a playoff spot all over again. It's just because other teams are playing and Montreal is finally winning again. There's another team that's finally decided, hey, we're going to get up off our butts and actually win games now. And this was coming in an Eastern Conference race that nobody wanted to win. But now Montreal's won three in a row. They've strung some wins together. And now you're sitting there. I say 12 points out. That's because, well, you lost three straight times to Montreal. So you're not catching them at that point with a head-to-head matchup tiebreaker. If you tie them in points, it's not happening. What a season it could have been, considering the race at the bottom of the wild card. And it's a lost season for the Sabres. And the things you want to look for are pretty much the things that you're starting to see. It has been written at this point that Noah Osland probably does play his first NHL action tonight against Tampa. By the way, John Cooper saying that Jonas Johansson starting in net, not Andre Vasilevsky for the Lightning. So there's opportunities to be had there. Tampa, by the way, they're chasing Toronto for first place in the Atlantic. And this game does mean a hell of a lot to Buffalo's opponents tonight. They're three back of Toronto. Opportunity to officially clinch their playoff spot. I mean, the top three in each division is, you guys are guaranteed at this point. The rest of the Eastern Conference doesn't want their playoff spots. But there's a vast difference between first place and second place in your division this year between Toronto and Tampa and Florida. All three of these teams are having themselves a truly fascinating chase to the end here. Toronto leads. All three of these teams have played 75 games. Toronto's up by 3 on Tampa, up by 4 on Florida. And there's a vast difference between the Toronto Maple Leafs facing off with, say, the Ottawa Senators than they would be against Tampa Bay or Florida. And the same goes for all these three teams. Two of them are going to have to face each other. The other gets Ottawa, a team who has been kind of slumping as of late. Then again, if Florida doesn't get their act together, they might be a wild card team, which would be just absolutely absurd. The Panthers have lost three straight. But Tampa, they're chasing with Toronto, and this game does mean a lot for the Lightning here. The Sabres could try to spoil a little bit of their postseason ambitions and matchup preferability just by winning here again tonight. Our own Paul Hamilton has the preview up on our website, and this is where you know how lost of a season it is. In their last 17 at KeyBank Center, the Sabres are 13-4. So if you're down at the arena, as of late, you're having a good time. As a matter of fact, Tampa used to be a major thorn in the side of Buffalo. Paul points out, last 8 games against the Lightning, Buffalo's 5-2-1. Last 8 games against Tampa Bay, you are 5-2-1.
And it looks like Jonas Johansson will be in goal.
Yeah,
for the Lightning.
I got that one there already.
Sorry.
You're good. But 5-2-1 against the Tampa Bay Lightning in your last 8 games. You can't solve the damn Montreal Canadiens and Philadelphia Flyers. As a matter of fact, you get run out of the building by both of those teams over the last 2 years. Are we kidding? Are we kidding? You go 2-1 against Washington with a record-breaking player to be and the best team in the Eastern Conference. You sweep Ottawa in 4 games. a team that is pretty much all but a shoe-in at this point to make a playoff spot. But you can't solve Montreal, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. Nope. Nope. We're not going to do that this year. We're silly gooses. Thanks, guys. Really appreciate it. James Reimer to be in net, playing his 7th out of 9 games. He's got a 5-game winning streak. Again, what's happened to UPL this year? I don't know. I don't like it. But hopefully there's something there where he can get himself out of this with a back-to-back probably. I would imagine Luukkonen plays tomorrow against Boston. But it is kind of insane to look at the numbers that this team has had ever since that ghastly losing streak in December. That's still really good stuff by Paul, pointing out in their last 17 games at home, the Sabres are 13-4. 2 years ago, you would have killed for the Sabres to have a home ice advantage when they were chasing for a playoff spot then. It just really is one of the most annoying things in the world that you had a team that they were at least good enough to be a wild card contender this year, but when you lose 13 games in a row, there's typically no coming back from that. The Boston Bruins are feeling that now late in the season. They've lost 10 in a row. They were in the conversation for wild card two, and now that they've lost 10 straight, they are no longer in that conversation. They're looking up at Buffalo in the standings, as a matter of fact. Thanks, Boston. Appreciate you guys actually having our backs for once, joining us in our suffering. It's like Cozy wished on a monkey's paw, by the way. Brian and I would talk the beginning of every season, and over the last few years it's been, this has got to be the year that Boston finally falls off, right? And I feel like Brian might have wished on a monkey's paw of, please let this be the year that Buffalo finishes ahead of Boston in the standings. And that monkey's paw curled and said, well, there's a cost for everything. Here's 13 losses in a row. But don't worry, Boston will find their way below Buffalo at the end of the year. Life is cruel. That's how it goes. I'm at least happy that the Sabres are playing well just for entertainment's sake. Does it mean anything? No. But hopefully you see a player like Noah Osland getting NHL time tonight. Hopefully you see Yuri Kulik continuing to play well on the top line. You keep looking for little tidbits to try to just at least cleanse the palate a little bit of that nasty, horrible losing streak. It is a lost season. But it doesn't mean that it's lost forever when it comes to the direction of the team. Kevin Adams has got some work to do. He's got a lot of work to do. You don't finish near the bottom of the league and just run it all back. He's got a lot of work to do. But that's conversation for then, not now. Come back, wrap everything up here on a Sports Talk Saturday. Derek Kramer hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us on this okay-ish weather that we're having here. Looks okay. It's not too cold. It's not sunny, though, but it's all right. But thanks for hanging out with us. This is WGR.